AFK discussion starts now. Hey guys, welcome back to AFK Discussions. We have a really good show for you tonight. Guys, I cannot wait to get into this. So we have Kayla Dawn, and she is from the Spirit Seekers Society. And guys, real quick before we get into this, check out FatTac for all your tactical needs. They're a sponsor. And also check out Definition Knives. They're not a sponsor. They're just some really cool people who make some cool knives. So... So how's it going? If you want, real quick, just introduce yourself and tell everyone where they can find you, you know, Facebook, Instagram, wherever.
Yeah.
YouTube, you have a YouTube channel. I know that.
I do. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So I'm Kay. Go by Kayla Dawn, Kay or Spook Kay online. That's usually my Insta or Facebook. But I am part of the Spirit Seeker Society. We're a group of five women. Paranormal investigators, and I also do photography. So I have a photography business called Haven and Hollow Photography, where I do a little bit of everything, but my creative focus is these abandoned locations that we go to, historic locations, and just trying to photograph and capture the moments in time, just as it would be like when it was active in real life. Yeah, I'm Kay.
Awesome. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about your adventures in ghost hunting and just all the spooky stuff you get into. Because look, we're in the midst of spooky season right now, and I can't wait for all the stories that are going to... Oh, that's a nice cup. All the stories that are going to come out. So real quick, before we get into this, guys, if you have any stories or encounters or something you want to talk about, I want to talk to you. Just hit me up. afkdiscussions@gmail.com. All right, guys. So I'm going to turn it over to you. So how did you get into ghost hunting?
Oh, goodness. So I, like, honestly, as long as I can remember, I have always had an interest. I've always been pulled to it. I have a gift that I've my entire life. When I was younger, obviously, I didn't really understand it. It's oddly calm. And I wasn't scared of ghosts, wasn't scared of spirits. I just was more so curious about them. Grew up in a very, very religious family. It wasn't really something that was talked about, but I just had so many experiences. One being when I was little, I had an attachment that I accidentally picked up, unprovoked. I was just a little girl, and this thing pretended to be a little girl. Got to the point where I had to have my house blessed and got really intense. So at that point, anything that was kind of my family opening up to me having these gifts kind of got shut out just out of fear. But as I got older, free will took over and I was like, oh, wow, I can explore. and honestly, just I've only been active in the paranormal community exploring and stuff for a year now. But up until then, you know, studying everything that I could possibly study, podcasts, watching videos, huge fans of everybody in the field. But yeah, as far as my gifts go, I really connect and channel through automatic writing. That's really what I've nailed it down to. But as far as I can remember, my entire life, I've just been pulled to the unknown in a very calming and just curious way. Yeah.
I totally get that. So, I am a Christian, but I always have had questions about what is out there, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there's a lot of stuff like when growing up in Christianity that's not explained, because there's a lot of biblical verses that, you know, talk about spirits, talk about, you know, witches and all this stuff that is real. But, yeah, you know, modern Christianity, they just want to dismiss it like, oh, no, it's not real. But look, there's passages that talks about this Witch of Endor, you know, like the thing I like to refer to is, you know, when Jesus is walking across the water, all the disciples are in the boat like, oh, my gosh, it's a spirit. And they're scared. Yeah. Right. I mean, if there was no such things as spirits, why would he be scared? Why would they be scared? You know,
yeah.
And Jesus didn't come in the boat and say, there's no such things as ghosts, guys. It's cool. You know,
yeah.
He didn't say that, you know,
exactly. There's a lot of, I cannot remember the man's name right now, but he's a theologist. I don't even know if I'm going to say this right, but a theologist,
maybe? Yeah, theologist, yeah.
But I don't remember his name, but really when a couple years ago I started studying, because growing up Christian too, I still have a relationship with God. My eyes just, diving like in between scripture, I want to say, and just really trying to make sense of it, because there was something that he said that kind of stuck with me, and it's like, how do you know that ghosts and spirits and stuff didn't exist back then? It's just they weren't really talked about because it was normal. They weren't really called out in the Bible because it was normal for people back then to see them and to, you know, communicate with them. But like, there's just so much there that I long for. I long to know. And no, that exactly what you said. That's just another unknown that I crave to know.
And this is this whole theme that, you know, there's like this unseen battle going on that I love throughout, throughout the Bible. There's this one verse where I think it's David. It's a D word, David or Daniel. My mind's blank right now, but he's praying. I think it's David. Anyways, he's praying. He's been praying for like a week or whatever. And I'm not a theologian, so don't, you know, cancel me because this, anyways, so, spiritually Christian canceled. I don't want to be that. Anyway, so he's praying. Right. And, the angel finally shows up. He's like, oh, I would have been here sooner to answer your prayer, but I was battling the Prince of Persia. You know, I mean, there's like this battle going on. Right. And no, you know, there's not really talked about.
No, it's, yeah, there's a lot to still be, discovered, I feel. And it's a tough conversation to have, especially with specific like Christians and who's open to it and who's not. And there's a fear there, to cross a line. And, that was something that I was terrified of doing, especially, I mean, even now I won't do certain things. But I also know where my heart is. I know where my mind is. I know where I'm grounded. And I feel like that's also very powerful. So
yeah,
it's a, depending on who you ask, it's a contradicting thing going into that side, but you know what I mean? I think that's what matters though, is like, I know where I am. I know who.
Oh yeah, for sure. So I've delved into a lot of things. Like, so I won't touch Ouija boards. Like I'm like,
oh yeah,
no. Adamly against Ouija boards, right? So what is something I was talking to you off air and I've talked about previously is the experience I had in Elkmont where we had a hitchhiker, you know, like kind of like something, you know, like what you were talking about when you're early childhood, you know, something kind of grabbed a hold of you, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, what did that do to make, you know, I'm sure they can show up for no reason, but I had the spirit box. And I just, you know, after this, I was just like, that's like a digital Ouija board, essentially, that I'm using, if you think about it. Yeah. I'm asking questions and it's answering.
Spit them out to you, so.
Yeah. So I'm like, so I don't do the spirit box anymore, just because I do not want to open any more doors.
Yeah.
But so, yeah.
No, we recently, Spirit Seeker Society, we have a video coming out in a couple weeks that we were at a location and it very much made me think of when we were talking about Elkmont. We were at Mid-Orange Correctional Facility in New York. And there's cottages there. And when you were talking about Elkmont and the cottages there, that made me think of that, our experience there. And in one of the cottages, we actually stumbled upon a Ouija board that was just sitting there, and let me say that was the most terrifying night thus far we've had investigating. So
Yeah, I'm sure that just sounds pretty creepy, you know,
yeah,
to just happen upon a Ouija board.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was on a makeshift table. There was a door that was just laid across chairs, and Ouija board was right on top. Planchette. Did not touch it, but oh, yeah, it was not, just didn't give good vibes.
So what do you think that came from? Do you think maybe, I guess, I would say that someone left it there, like they were investigating, and I guess they went throughout the other parts of Mid-Orange and then just like forgot to go back and get it or something? I mean, what do you think?
You would think. There was also a cat ball left on the floor, but there was like red, it looked like candle wax around it too. So it's a photographer. I'm also like, oh, maybe they were just taking really cool photos. Because the cabin itself was the cottage, like it was pretty cool. You had to walk through some like overgrown brush and wood to get to it. And so like, maybe they were just taking really cool photos. I try to think of the positive and it just doesn't make sense for somebody to just, I don't know. That's where my mind goes immediately thinking of it. But if I think way too much, then I can be like very paranoid about it.
Yeah.
But it also, if you really think, like, was it left there? Because it was never closed.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Or they opened it and, you know, contacted something and they decided, oh, crap, we better get out of here. And they just left it.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. That's another thing. And it's just like a we'll never know type thing. But hopefully they were just taking really cool photos and decided to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's best to keep thinking about that, you know? Only taking photos, nothing nefarious happened here. There's no demons just stalking the forest now.
Nope.
Because they let it through. Yeah.
Yep. No. But honestly, what happened after that is kind of lead a different story. And again, just very one of the very scary nights of our lives, I think, investigating wise, definitely.
So yeah. Oh yeah, this is coming up. I was like, I want to know. You're teasing me here.
Oh, yeah, no.
But yeah, so is it say next week? Is that's when it's going to release?
The 25th, 26th.
It'll okay.
On the 26th.
Awesome.
Can't say a lot about it, but I can say that it definitely changed all of us. And just really opened our eyes to a lot, for sure. But definitely puts different, like, investigating and what we do into a whole new perspective. Even more, makes us just be more, even more appreciative of it and respectful of it all.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, guys, this will be dropping well before that. So, I will post a link somewhere, like, down in this area underneath the video that you can click on to go to their page. So, just check it out.
please do.
Yeah, so up until that point, what do you think was the most intense experience you've had that you can talk about, you know?
Let me think. We've always had pretty good experiences. We went on up until that point, my most intense experience personally was like my experience as a child. And like our investigations before that, they were always pretty, never like super dark. Like there were spirits that were trying to be intimidating, but like you could also tell that they were just trying to be intimidating and the stories behind, like we went to Green County Olm's house in here in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
We went there back in May, and that was actually my very first overnight investigation, and they kicked it off by sending me straight to the basement.
Oh man.
That was lovely. but the spirits down there are known. I can't remember his name right now, but the spirit down there, he is known for not really treating women nice. And, I'm not prepared mentally for vocabulary here, but just not that, you know, he's known as an intimidator, and the things that were just coming through, I think we had the spirit box, and I think we also had the Spirit Talker app or one of those apps up. Things that are just coming through was just kind of like derogatory and trying to just scare you out of the basement. But never once did I feel actually threatened. It was just one of those moments where I had to reground myself and be like, hey, you're in control here. Like, you're okay. You're here to figure out and hear the stories of those who are here for like your highest good. You're not here to pay any mind or pay any attention respectfully and with safety in mind that to anything that's trying to trick you or get you out of here, they're going to be there, but you want to know what really happened. You want to know, you want to get to those spirits who really aren't hurt that much, you know?
Yeah.
Going back to the most intense though, probably, yeah, definitely when I was little, just because that affected my whole family. And it was completely unexpected, unprovoked. I grew up in Virginia. Virginia is just a lot of war history. You have so many different things that happen there. But I was in middle school, and my friend, she lived in a very old house. The house had two front doors, one for the men to go in and one for the women to go in. And
it that's like weird. I never knew that was a thing. That's crazy.
Yeah. And like it had a men's parlor and a women's parlor, like very old. But there was a cemetery on the property and everything. And she'd always said that her house, like one of her barns was haunted by a little girl. And we were over there, I think for her birthday in October, fitting. We had a sleepover and I just remember laying in her bed and I remember it plain as day. Everybody else was asleep. And I had sleepovers over there before, and I knew her house was haunted because you could literally lay upstairs in her house and hear conversations downstairs. Nobody slept downstairs. Mm. Her family knew this. Her parents, like everybody knew her house was haunted. But the night that I had the interaction with the little girl, I could hear her running around her bed. I could see her running around her bed, peeking her head up. And this sounds completely made up and crazy, but happened, and it happened for a long time. Long story short, I ended up calling my parents in like the middle of the night. They came and picked me up, thought everything was fine, but she showed herself at my house did the same thing. And like, it got to the point where my parents didn't even want to go upstairs by themselves because that's where she would stay. And we had, she would just show herself. I don't even know how to explain it. But we had two pastors come and bless our house. And my grandparents are very, very, very religious. And they also came from West Virginia. So that's where I was born and raised too. And blessed the house themselves. So eventually all settled, but it was a very intense couple months because of that. And it sounds something straight out of a movie, but
yeah. So I don't want to go into it right now. I'll tell you off air because it's not about me. It's about you. I've talked about it, but I had experience like also in my childhood. So yeah. I totally know where you're coming from. And yeah, okay. It's terrifying. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we can talk about that for sure.
Yeah. So I was reading on the Instagram for your group and it says, so five women and two continents. Is that what it said?
Yeah.
Two countries.
Yeah.
So
we have, I was in Pennsylvania. I mean, I was in Tennessee. I just moved to Pennsylvania. So there are four of us in Pennsylvania now. And then we have Canadian Becca. And she lives in Canada. And then there's myself, Bree, Amy, and Emily, and we're all in Pennsylvania. But yeah, Canadian Becca, she'll travel down here and go on whatever investigations she can. But yeah,
that's awesome. So I want to get everyone on here because we had talked about that, and and then I guess we couldn't figure the logistics of getting everyone on. So yeah, I told you, just go ahead and come on. We'll talk. So yeah. I'm excited to have everyone else on, and maybe after this video drops, the one you're talking about, that'd be cool to have you guys back on to talk about that after, you know, people have seen it. That'd be
great. I think they would all be down. So we'll definitely talk about that. There's a lot to discuss, and I think there'll be things that come up after that video drops. So it'd be a great place to kind of just talk about it all and lay it all out.
Awesome. Sure. Awesome.
Yeah.
So being from the South myself, the whole southern area is just spooky. You know, seriously, especially the Smoky Mountains over here on this side of Tennessee is crazy. But also, you know, the Nashville area, you have the notorious Bell Witch.
Yep.
So have you ever been to the Bell Witch area? Okay, you have. Awesome.
Yeah. Honestly, I wasn't that spooked.
Really?
I went in the cave. The biggest thing that I was scared of was the spiders. Mm-hmm. I just don't do well with spiders, and they were everywhere. It was just a really cool experience, though, to be there. It really wasn't, I mean, I wasn't there investigating or anything. I was just there for a tour, but I happened to be the only person on the tour that day or that time. And
that's crazy. So you were the only person on the tour.
Yeah.
So just you and the tour guide.
Yeah. Me and the tour guide. That was it.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And we got to take our time and I just really got to take it in. And that's something I love doing at these locations is just sitting in silence and just taking in all the, respectfully taking in all the energy and just feeling the atmosphere, feeling the energy that's there. But it wasn't really like a scary experience. It was just, I don't know. I definitely would go back though. And I definitely did take a rock, and they say not to do that.
Yeah. That's not good.
No. I think it did.
So speaking of that real quick, I have a friend that he had a guest in studio, and they brought a rock from the Conjuring House. And he said he never experienced anything from it. He said he just threw it away. So
too did the same thing. I just left it on the side of one of my old rental house before I bought my house. I'm so sorry for the people that live there now. If they somehow ever stumble upon this and anything has happened in that house, I'm so sorry. But yeah, nothing. I don't know. That is a whole conversation in itself. If you think things can happen, I don't know, but I tested it. But yeah, no, the whole Nashville area there, Nashville itself is haunted. There's underground tunnels and that there's a whole story there. Tons of stories there to unpack about Nashville, but no.
I just know, about the Ryman. That's the main thing that I know. This is like super haunted.
Yeah.
I've never done a ghost tour there, but I did do like a music tour. So also I'm a musician. I play bass. And that's so we did right a, here. Yeah. So me and my wife did a tour around there for Valentine's Day, like maybe 10 years ago. Gosh, I didn't realize how long it was, but, we were in the Ryman and they were, you know, telling us about the history and about some of the ghosts that have been seen. And I was like, man, I want to stay here and just hang out here and see what happens, you know?
It's crazy. There's Printer's Alley, which I worked over there in one of the buildings, but there's, I think it's Skull's Rainbow Room. That's one of the very notorious, like, haunted rooms over there. Because from, I think back, one of the wars, I don't know if it was the Civil War, but there's just a bunch of little wars around there, too. They use the tunnels to transport bodies to like the hospital or store bodies or something. There's a whole ghost tour in Nashville. I never got to go on it, but just one night did a deep dive into all of this. But yeah, there's so much in the smoke, where you're at in the Smokies, like you have so much to unpack over there.
I mean, you can't even, I mean, if you name it, it probably happens here.
Oh yeah. No.
Witches, no. Bigfoot, Dogman,
all of it.
Everything. It's here.
No, I know. I was born in West Virginia and I go back to West Virginia all the time, spent summers there, and you don't go in the woods at night. And I feel like that's anywhere in the Appalachian Mountains, smoking.
Yes.
You just don't do it.
No. Unless you're like us. Then you have to do it. You're called to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now that's one thing I take that back. I did have a Bigfoot experience. I was going to say I've never had a Bigfoot experience, but I have.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I could talk a little bit about it. I think I didn't tell you off air about it, but I think I've covered it in the show, but I'll go ahead and tell you real quick. Okay. So another shameless plug for my friend Tony Merkel. So he had did this film with Wes Germer of Sasquatch Chronicles. And do you know Sasquatch Chronicles show? No. Okay.
I have to look at that though.
Okay. Yeah. It's ridiculously huge show. Like, I want to say almost 1 million followers, I think. I want to say.
I feel so out of it right now.
Yeah, that's fine. But anyway, so I had the honor of playing Wes in the recreation of his encounter.
Oh my!
So we're at this undisclosed location. His name always slips in my head. I'm really bad whenever I get on air. Escape me, right? Anyways, there's a real famous YouTuber that did Bigfoot videos. And so we were in his investigation, area.
Oh my goodness,
recreating this. Okay. Yeah. And he has since passed away. Scott Carpenter is his name.
Okay.
So if you look up Scott Carpenter after this, it's awesome. Anyways. So, we're in his location and we're filming, and Tony, comes over and he's like, "Hey, did you guys hear that weird sound?" And we're like, "No, it's frogs, you know, there's a bunch of frogs croaking in the area."
Yeah.
And so after we're done filming, he's like, "There it is," and we all hear it. It's like, if you've ever seen the movie The Predator, you ever seen that?
Yeah.
That clicking sound the predator makes, it's that, and it's so loud.
No.
And it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. And there's a cemetery in the woods. Yeah, and we just keep hearing that click sound. And there's no animals in this area that make that sound. And to this day, we still don't know what it is. So, yeah. Real quick before you go.
No, go ahead.
I need to finish. I forgot to finish my train of thought there. So, there's a show called Expedition Bigfoot on the History Channel or Travel Channel. I can't remember which one. But their last season, that click was on there. The same click sound encountered. Yeah. So, that. Okay. Oh. Now I'm done. Sorry.
Oh, you're okay. That's something that, like, I'm dipping my toes into. It's more cryptid.
Yeah.
And I recently went to the Hockomock Swamp with one of my good friends, Drew, from the Haunted Raven. And everything that could prevent you from going on an investigation or going into those woods happened that night. Mm. Like, pop-up tornado out of nowhere.
Pouring, a tornado?
Yeah.
Like, really? That's crazy.
Out of nowhere. But we didn't want to get our cameras out, so we were waiting for the storm to pass. We're sitting in the trunk of my car with like the trunk open. He has a DR-60. So we were doing some, EVP sessions right there at the trunk of the car. And we were getting like the clicking and we were getting screaming. Hmm. And, the Hockomock Swamp is where we're at, the Bridgewater Triangle. There's so many tales of that area.
And it's
that makes me think of that. And we ended up just leaving after we heard the clicking, and it was such a distinct sound, though.
Yeah.
It was spine-chilling. It was just...
It really is, yeah.
Especially being out there in the middle of nowhere, and it's not logical for that to happen.
So, Phil, my co-host on the other show, so whenever he did his stuff in the Bridgewater Triangle and the Hockomock Swamp, that was the Hockomock was mainly his place he would go to all the time. And he had recorded sounds of what it sounded like a metal door shutting in the middle of the swamp. Like a
goodness.
Yeah. And then also he had Native American chanting. Like he was walking and you could hear it, like drums and everything.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure, and if Drew, you watched this and I'm wrong, I'm so sorry, but Drew had been up there before because he lives in Massachusetts.
Okay.
Before I went with him, and I'm pretty sure he caught ants on there as well on the DR-60. It's such a fascinating place, and I just want to go back and study it more, but I'm also very cautious with it because that's just a place that there's so much.
Yeah.
There's so many things that come from there. People see, people experience. So it's very interesting. And for us, that's just a we have to know type thing. It can get us in trouble, but yeah.
And I'm willing to bet that your friend knows Phil, because Phil was pretty popular, and he also lives in Massachusetts. So
probably,
but yeah.
I'm gonna ask him immediately after this. Like,
yeah. Just say exploring with Phil. I mean, most people know that. So
probably.
So the Phil's experience was so bad that he completely wiped his YouTube channel completely out. That's how bad it got, where he didn't want anything to do with anything after his experience. And people know what I'm talking about. And I told you beforehand.
Yeah. That's terrifying. And I mean, I get it, because, but to completely wipe it is terrifying. And all respect to him, because it takes work to do it. It's years and years and years of work. And to just completely wipe it, I couldn't imagine how hard, but like how big and releasing that was for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like I told my group, like they're investigating a little bit more for the rest of the year, but mentally it takes a lot out of you. And I told them personally, like, I'm stepping back probably for the rest of the year just for mental health and to recoup for next year and make sure that I'm where I need to be for them and for myself, you know. But for somebody to completely step back, that's wow.
Yeah, it's huge. I think did we do an episode? We may have done an episode on that before we ended AFK Discussions the first time. So for people who don't know, who are just joining, so AFK Discussions was, we went for 3 years, and then we switched to a new platform, and Phil didn't want to talk anymore about the supernatural at all. So I say the supernatural, we wanted to do a positive spin on the supernatural. So we only didn't talk about any ghost stuff, but mainly like angels and stuff like that. So, I wanted to still talk about spooky stuff. So I decided to bring AFK back, and I'm literally starting from scratch I'm rebuilding my channel and everything right now. So it's been a lot of work, but actually it's been growing faster than it did the first time, which is good. So,
Good. I feel like there's a lot more people opening up to supernatural and stuff too, and the more that's out there for people to learn and education wise like, there you go.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm trying to think where to go next. Do you have anything that sticks out to you that you would like to talk about?
Oh goodness.
I put you on the spot. See, I switched it.
I know. I am not good at this. I could not have a podcast. I don't know. Let's go back to Tennessee. Let's talk about it. So awesome. Elkmont, I know you've been to Elkmont. Have you been to Cades Cove?
Oh yeah, definitely.
What are your thoughts on Cades Cove?
Okay. So I so wish Phil had gave me his videos from Cades Cove we did. Yeah. So we did videos together. I have on YouTube, it's a shorter video.
Okay.
His video was about an hour. I think mine's like 30 minutes. And I think mine's a combination of Elkmont and Cades Cove. But he had just Cades Cove and just Elkmont. And they're kind of two different perspectives, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's a weird place. We had a lot of EVPs and like this little cemeteries and stuff, and some of the churches we went into. The one thing that's weird is there's a lot of children buried there.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's just extremely creepy to think about. I know the like mortality rate was really big back in the day, you know, because of, you know, healthcare and stuff, but still that seems like a lot. A lot more than should be, you know?
I don't know what it is about Cades Cove. I've been so many times, and each time I make sure to stop and go to every building I can. But it just feels like I just feel nothing but children's spirits there. Like there's you know, adult spirits and stuff, but it is really mostly children that seem to be all over that place. Even walking through the graveyards or cemeteries, you can see, there's still people being buried there today. That's just families that, come from Cades Cove, but from way back when Cades Cove was active and, I mean, really lived in, all children, mostly children, but I feel like that's really mostly what's still active there, though, are the children's spirits. Any building that you go in, it doesn't really feel, it feels playful to me. I'm just curious.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to overtalk you.
I'm like lingering on this.
It didn't feel like nefarious at all to me. Now I do have a friend, Brooks, with Smokey's Unforgotten Paranormal. Now he's experienced some stuff there that's very different. He has some videos out there because they got permission to go at night and investigate. So, they're very lucky because you're not supposed to be in there after dark, but they have written permission. But they have videos of like, let me back up a little bit. Brooks, he is, I guess, an attractant, I would say, to hostile activity. That's the only way I can say it. So he was with us at Elkmont the last time we visited, whenever all the stuff went down with me and Phil. And he got scratched. I mean, like literally we're standing there and he walked in the other room and he was showing his friend and his arm, he had like scratches down his arm.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And they go to Elkmont all the time. They've had a lot of experience there, but anyways, so back to Cades Cove. So there's a video out there, on their YouTube channel. It's either on YouTube or they do a lot of TikTok stuff too. But he actually gets pulled off of, a bench, like in one of the schoolhouses or the churches, like you see it grab his leg and like just pull him into the floor.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It is crazy.
So he doesn't really have a good rep with them. Like it just seems like they come after.
Yeah. There's something going on. I don't know. I guess spooky stuff doesn't like him. I don't know. Brooks is a great guy though. I mean, I'm not saying that he's not a good guy, but something, horrible. Yeah, there's something about him that they either like and they like to mess with. I don't know. But also whenever I go back to Elkmont next month, he's going to be going with us. So I'll let you know if anything happens to him. I'm going to send him in. Brooks, go over here and let's see what happens. I'm just kidding, Brooks.
I'm so sorry, Brooks. Do it for science, please. Yeah. We just need to know.
Yeah.
No, if we're going to talk about going to Elkmont because I've never been and always wanted to go. And if you guys go often or I'm here close to it, it's closer. Yeah. So we will chat.
Here, let me see if I can pull this up real quick. I'm very bad about doing media and stuff and having it work on here to show pictures and stuff. Yeah. So let me see. Share screen, window. Here we go. Share. Can you see that?
Oh, wait. Yep. Here it comes.
So that's Brooks. Some scratches he has there. That is the schoolhouse in the Smoky Mountains. That's probably the one at Cades Cove. Yeah.
That's where he got scratched?
Yeah. And then here's,
Brooks, that's not normal.
I may actually have the video on here.
Oh my goodness. Did this happen to anybody else?
No, like, just him.
Oh my goodness.
Here we go. Here's the video. For people who listen to audio, this is going to be very awkward.
Oh my goodness.
So guys, if you're on audio, what you didn't see is Brooks getting pulled off of like a bench. Yeah. So, but anyways,
very, very noticeably getting pulled off the bench. Like there was no way for him to do that.
No. So
That's wild. Yeah, no, people who are listening to audio, are not, you need to go watch that video.
Yeah.
That was incredible. Sorry, yeah. Folks. Wow. I'm kind of speechless at that. That was wild.
Yeah. See? So, yeah, he is an attractant, I guess I would say.
Yeah, and those scratches, like, those weren't just any scratches. Those were deep, intense scratches all over him.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. No, please be careful next month. Yeah. Returning, and all the luck to you, because that's intense.
It is. Yeah, I don't. It should be fine. It should be fine. Everything's fine.
Hopefully the same for Brooks.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, it's Case Cove is a weird place. Yeah. If you do some research, there's some specific cabins that are more haunted than others up there. Yeah. Now there's another cabin called the Bud Ogle Cabin, and it is actually the strip through Gatlinburg. It is behind it. There's something called, Smoky Mountain Motorway or something motorway.
But discovered that last year, and it's
okay.
Beautiful. But yeah, there are cabins back there. I forgot about that.
There's one called the Bud Ogle Cabin, and it's pretty creepy. Yeah. I went there at night because that's open at night. And one weird thing about that area, which I don't know, maybe it's a natural phenomenon. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but your voice echoes in the forest. Like it's a cave. I've never experienced anywhere except there. Like, you can like yell like, hey, you know, hey. Like you're in a cave. It's so bizarre. Yeah. I've never been there during the day, so I can't say if it only happens at night, but I'm going to say that I think it only happens at night, and it's very spooky.
That's one of those places. It's like, you know what? Maybe we should listen and stay out of the woods at night, but that's why now I wish I knew about these things before I moved, because they were so close. And now I'm learning about all this Pennsylvania lore and trying to figure out what I can go do around here. But wow, no, that like makes me want to go.
Yeah.
There's so much everywhere. Yeah. That's what the curiosity.
Definitely. And like I said, I will get you in touch with Laura. Because she has lived there her whole life, so she knows everything about the Pennsylvania area.
Amazing. So, no, I appreciate that. There's so much unpacking. And there's a lot of Native American history up here, especially like where around I live. And that's a whole rabbit hole itself to go down. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So what? So the Native American tribes up there, do you know what tribe it was in that area?
I know Lenape.
Okay.
Lenape. And then there's Delaware.
Okay.
You learn about different ones, I guess, in which area you're in. So in Virginia, I did all my school in Virginia. So you learn about all these different tribes, but that's why it's like, I want to dive deep into the history up here, respectfully, to like, just know. There's also, I've joined like Facebook pages around my area to kind of, you know, just get to know people and like get to know the area. And one night or one morning, not too long ago, probably about a month ago now, this very like wooded area, I'm in the Pocono Mountains. And somebody posted on Facebook saying, what was that? Did anybody else hear that Native American chanting? And people were like, yeah, we heard it. And then people started chiming in saying like, that's just like a known thing around here. You'll hear. And I'm like, okay, wait, paranormal Kayla, it's coming in here. Like, where is this? I want to know more. Mm-hmm. And the more like people commented, it's just, there's nobody doing it. It's just like a phenomenon. But it's just one of those things. It's like, okay, we got to learn more. We got to figure out why. But one thing I've loved moving up here, being so close to New York and New Jersey and just New England, when I went to Massachusetts, like the whole like Northeast up here is so full of history, and there's so much up here. It's just so energetically charged up here. Not the South is too in its own way, but there's so much more to explore, yeah. So much more to learn. And that's one thing in this field is the history is very, very, very alive. And that's what pulls you in.
Yeah.
I could talk about this forever, but yeah.
That's awesome. So yeah, it's a weird, I mean, it's a different kind of, I guess, feeling or haunting yeah. up there than it is in the South. I can't explain it, but it I've never been on a ghost hunt or something up there, but I have been, you know, up in the area. And like I told you, I stayed in a haunted hotel,
yeah,
which everyone who watches the show knows about already. but yeah, it's very different feeling. I don't know it's spooky, but you know, I feel more scared in Tennessee than I did up there. I don't know. It seems like there's more of a darker presence here, if that makes sense.
A lot of unknown. Like, yeah. I feel like in the mountains, even like West Virginia down, Kentucky, that there's different regions. Like, it depends on the region you're in. In the United States, you're going to have different things, but definitely like just a very unknown spooky in Tennessee, West Virginia, Kentucky, all that whole area. Yeah. Even to the Carolinas, I feel like you could dabble in. There's like a very calming spookiness up here. There's so many old buildings that are still used today. So like even in the town that I live near, there's still stores and like these giant old buildings. They look like castles. And I remember touring, like driving through the town for the first time in awe. Like, I want to know what are their stories? And that's just, there's old hotels that are still running and restaurants that are still running. And it's fascinating that, and I love that they're still running today and they still keep their charm and they still keep their story. And it's just beautiful.
Yeah, definitely. The hotel I stayed in, what was it called? The Union Hotel. Union Hotel.
Union.
And I want to say it was built in like the early 1800s.
Something a lot of most things appear like very, very old. Like,
yeah, 1800s. Well, maybe it's 1700s. Maybe I'm. I don't know. I'm watching my video like on the side here trying to figure out, because I have a picture of like when it was built and it's hanging up in the hotel.
That's awesome.
It's not, I think I'm just talking on the video right now, so that's not helping me any.
It's okay.
But yeah, but we did eat at a restaurant that was crazy old. And it's known to be haunted also. It's actually in the book, Haunted PA.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's known for being one of the, it's like a tavern and with a bed and breakfast above it. And the story goes that Washington's troops during the Whiskey Rebellion stayed at that hotel. So, yeah.
See, that's what I mean. Like, you never know what you're going to get up here.
Yeah.
There's been people, like, I've read on blogs and threads, and they're like, everywhere in Pennsylvania is haunted. I really, truly believe, like, there's just so much history up here in all the surrounding states. I mean, everywhere, really. But how could it not be?
I know, right?
How could it not be? There's so much still more to explore too.
Definitely. So yeah. So it's called the John Bonnet Tavern and it was built in 1762.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah.
I'm gonna have to look this up.
Yeah. It's a pretty cool place.
Oh my goodness.
And let's see. when it was a hotel. I'm looking at it. So yeah, so the hotel was looks like it was a jail at one point. So it looks like April 29th, 1879 is when it was built. And that town of Everett, I want to say it was Everett. So it was used to be called Bloody Run. And apparently there was some massacre there. So
there yeah. you go.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, but yeah, it was a very interesting place, to say the least.
Like I have to add that to the long list of places to check out.
Yeah.
Around here. Or in Pennsylvania.
Yep. Everett, yeah. Everett, PA.
Everett, okay.
Yes. Yeah, it was it's very cool. And we stopped through another town on the way up. I can't remember the name of it. I don't have a picture of the town name. I'm looking through photos because I take pictures of everything. Obviously, you know, I'm a photographer.
Photographer thing. Yep.
Yeah. but yeah, so that's just a creepy place. Anyways.
No. So what do you, do you do client photography? Do you do?
Okay. real quick. Story guys, get ready for the story of my career. I'm just kidding. I went to school for graphic design. And then when I graduated, I needed a job. So I started a company called Jewelry Television, which is a shop at home channel for jewelry and gemstones. So I was a photographer there, did macro photography of jewelry and gemstones. And then I started doing lifestyle photography, like models and stuff wearing jewelry and gemstones. Then I did some wedding photography, some family photography on the side, which I really didn't care for because it's just too hectic. And I'm more of a chill guy than, you know, having to deal with all the drama. So, you know, I just continued doing the photography there. And then I became a supervisor and then I became a manager. And then a position got offered to me for e-commerce. So I went over there and I started doing social media photography and, videography for YouTube and doing a little bit of everything. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except for graphic design, which is what I went to school for.
Tell me how that works out.
So then I started doing graphic design on the side, for other companies, did t-shirt designs and stuff. And one of the companies is Fat Tack, who were sponsored by is one of my friends' brands.
That's awesome.
So, then I got laid off in 2023. Just cause not many people were buying jewelry and gemstones. So, got laid off. Then I started at, position I'm at now with, Nisus Corporation. And so I do photography of bugs, insects, which is really cool. Macro photography. And doing macro videography, which is a whole different beast.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also I do graphic design, like, I do layouts for magazines and, ads and like, web ads and, social media, everything that has to do with the design. I do it. Like I've done t-shirts there. I've done everything. So
that's amazing. Yeah. I love it.
And also the host of podcast. Yeah.
I love that you've kind of like dabbled in everything.
Yeah.
And even the macro is so niche.
Yeah.
It's hard to do. Video even, I don't even know why I didn't even think that was a thing, but I mean, it makes sense for it to be, but still. Wow.
Yeah. Also, so to piggyback off that, I do freelance photography and stuff. So I did a lot of, I'm a big nerd, right? I love comic books and all that, like super nerdy. So I used to do photography for a local convention. Like I would go and just do, you know, like photography of the convention floor and stuff, you know, for them to use on websites, social media and stuff like that. That's for awesome. Like comic conventions. Then I met people doing cosplay, and I didn't realize that people want to pay photographers to do cosplay, like high quality cosplay photography. Yes. So yes. I started doing cosplay photography, and it's awesome.
I feel like that is really cool. Cosplay fascinates me. Yeah. I can never do it because I just don't have the patience to put that. And I'm indecisive. That's out of the different conversation. But
yeah,
cosplay is fascinating. We went to Smoky Mountain Terror, that convention earlier this year in May. And there were so many people dressed up in cosplay. And it was just, that was one of my favorite parts, is looking at everybody in their cosplay. Because the time and the creativity. And I have a friend that I've known for a couple years, and she's into cosplay, and she does it with her husband. And just how creative they get. It's so cool to me. And the photo shoots, they really do. I mean, I guess if you put that much time into it too and completely transform yourself, absolutely. Get those photos.
I love it because, you know, I know the subject matter since I'm such a nerd. So, you know, I did a Friday the 13th shoot, and I found a location that was Camp Crystal Lake. We found some old cabins and an old cemetery, and we went and did complete like Jason Voorhees. And so the guy and his wife was a camp counselor. He was Voorhees, and it was so much fun.
Oh my goodness, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Becca is going to love you. Becca's the Canadian. She is all horror, she has like a TikTok and an Instagram that reviews all these scary movies too. That's just right up her alley. Awesome. That sounds amazing. I'm gonna have to go find all these photos now.
Yeah, I can send you, after we get off here, I'll send you a link to my other Instagram. So, but that Instagram has changed. It used to be York Photog, and now it's Jason York Official. So, I don't really post. So, since I'm so busy, I haven't really had time to do much of my photography that I like to do. So, turned into more of just whatever I want to post, I'll post it on there, like my kids' soccer games and stuff, you know, whatever, you know.
But yeah, so you stay very busy. It's just hard to keep up with social media in general.
I do such a bad job at it. Honestly, I'm surprised that my platform is growing like it is, because I literally will forget to post stuff for like a week. And that's the thing with social media. You're supposed to post in order for it to hit the algorithm. Like, you have to post like at a certain time every day or every 2 days, or you have to have a rhythm to your post for the algorithm to pick you up and, you know, feed you to more people. So,
I'm not doing well at it right now. And never really have, but
it's such a science. And I like to talk to people. I like to get to know people. So, I mean, if no one watches this podcast, at least, you know, I get to talk to people and, you know,
get to connect,
meet new people, you know, make new friends. I mean, you know,
exactly. And that's really what it's about. Like, going to these locations, going to these conventions, and even in just in this community in general, I love meeting like-minded people. Something like I had always felt, I never really opened up about to like friends and family, even more so before, just kind of like, oh, you do ghost hunting. What do you mean? But it's been so comforting and like really been able to come out of my shell. And I know a lot of other people have too, because this community just gets it. I was recently at Madison Seminary in Ohio for MadCon 8. And I overheard a conversation of somebody just walking around. It was somebody who was dressed up, like, I think they might've been like cosplay or something, but somebody was dressed up, and they were like, don't mind me. Or there was the gist of the conversation was like, it's safe here. Like, it just fits here. And that's the truth. Cause it just, nobody here is going to judge you, cause we're all here for the same reason and we all get it, you know?
Yeah.
It's really comforting. But yeah.
Yeah. But it's like I said, I mean, I have made so many friends and connections just being a part of this community, it's awesome, you know.
It is.
I just love it. Yeah.
And you never know, like, how, like, so many doors open too. And, like, didn't realize you were a photographer, and I love talking photography.
Oh, yeah, same here.
Ghosts, paranormal, unknown, all of it.
Yeah, if you want to get nerdy, so what do you shoot with? What camera?
I almost asked you the same thing. I started with a Nikon D750. I still have it and use it. It's a dinosaur and it's huge. But now I use Sony. I have a Sony A7 III, and that's pretty much what I use. I also have an A7 that I just have as a backup. Those are my three that I keep on me. What do you shoot with?
So, yeah. So I started out Nikon.
Okay.
So I was lucky enough in my former career that the CEO was like, here, because I was a manager. He's like, here, this is your camera now. As long as you work here, it's yours. So I had a D2X, which back then was like, you know, very expensive camera.
Yep.
And he had bought me all the lenses and stuff. So I could use that for my personal use also, as well as work.
Oh my goodness.
So, okay. Yeah. So, and then that camera is totally obsolete now, you know? Yeah. So I went from that, and then, I bought a, A7 II Sony whenever I switched to mirrorless, and I still shoot with that to this day. It's just an awesome camera. I put only lens I use on there is a 35 millimeter lens, the Carl Zeiss 35 mil. And that sits a workhorse. All my cosplay photography and everything's done with that. It's the best camera for street photography I've ever used.
Yep.
But now I shoot with, on the professional end. So I don't have to pay for it. It's, you know, my company pays for it. I have Canon R5C. So it's the R5 Cinema. And so it does, you know, 8K video and all that good stuff. So,
I started out with a Canon, like, Rebel something, and then went to Nikon. And I thought about going to Canon before I went Sony, but Canon's got a good game.
Actually, I'm the shelf right here behind me.
There it is.
Yep.
It's a beautiful.
Yeah, I got the battery grip on here and stuff. So
yeah.
And there's my trusty 35 mil.
Yep. I love a good Sony. I was shocked with Sony, honestly, especially going to mirrorless. And I was very nervous to go to mirrorless, but changed the game completely.
Oh, it did. Oh my gosh. It is ridiculous how it changed. Like, when I first, because I did the same thing. I didn't test it out. I didn't know anything about mirrorless. I'm like, okay, I watched some videos, and I'm just going to do it. So I had a D90 Nikon. It was the first Nikon, whenever I got married, it was the first Nikon that came out that had video on it. And so I bought that to take on our honeymoon, which.
Yeah.
And I ended up selling that and all my lenses and went Sony. So sold all my Nikon lenses and everything. Yep. I still do have the. No, maybe I not. I don't. I don't know. I thought I had a macro lens around here. There's Nikon still, but I don't think I do. But yeah, so it's Sony. It takes the guesswork out of your photography. I mean, you know, before you're like, okay, so the sun's here. Let me get my light meter, and if you don't have a light meter, you just kind of got to guess. Okay, let's just shoot. You know, 2.8 and 100 and no, let's 200. Okay, that's good. Let's, you know, let's change my ISO down here. I mean, I always shoot manual on everything. So,
the Sony has spoiled me being able to see it live.
See it live. I mean, gosh, takes the guesswork out of everything.
It does.
And I got to the point where I'm back to the viewfinder now, but when I first switched to the Sony, I didn't use the viewfinder. I'll just use the back of the camera, like to
it's
do all my shots.
It's hard to get that habit. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to break that habit and get back to the viewfinder right now, but I'm like, oh, so easy.
I know.
Yeah. Love the Sony though. And Nikon is always going to be a starter.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was always just throwing some shade at Canon and still until I got one. And gosh, it really is a beautiful thing. It is.
I know. I don't know why I feel so like I'm not against Canon. It's just kind of like the rivalry type thing. But
yeah.
It's not like I would ever not. I would buy a Canon. It's just Nikon, you know. A lot of my photography friends that do client photography, they have Canons.
Yeah.
And the photos are beautiful.
And the Canon's more user-friendly.
Yeah.
And the Nikon's more of a photographer's camera. That's what it is. Yeah.
And honestly, too, it makes you think, like, when you're switching to mirrorless, if you don't have, like, that perfect fit, I don't think you're going to be satisfied. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I would not have been happy with a mirrorless Canon.
Yeah.
But
I mean, you say that, but if you shot with a mirrorless Canon, you'd be like, oh, yeah, this is awesome.
We're not going to do that because that's going to break the bank, and I cannot break the bank right now.
Did you see what I just shared?
It's pulling up now.
Okay, guys, you're going to have to go to YouTube and look at the photo. This is one of my shots from the Friday the 13th shoot.
So. I love that shot, that angle.
Yeah.
Everything about this picture is perfect.
See, is there any more on here? I'm just going through my Instagram now.
Here's one.
This is gender bent Pennywise I did.
Was that in a studio?
No, this is actually at Dragon Con in Atlanta.
So, that's amazing.
Yeah, this was outside under the lights. I just did a low shutter speed. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Was this on the Sony?
That was on the Sony, yeah.
Yeah.
So here's a Daredevil picture I did. This is downtown Knoxville.
I love that.
And this I have a little hot light, as you call it. So these guys right here.
Yep.
So I just take these and this was a metal staircase and I just turned it on. It has magnets on them and I just put it over there and just use the light from this.
It's perfect.
Yeah. So here's some of my family photography. That's some more family photography. That's an engagement photo shoot I did.
That's
another
awesome.
Engagement photo shoot. That's some of my art. My son.
Oh.
But yeah.
Do your kids have photographer child syndrome?
I guess. I mean, my daughter, she wants to do photography now. So that's a cool thing. And then here's a picture of my truck I did.
That's a great angle.
The cool thing about this is I was experimenting with using a GoPro to do still photography. And that's what this is. That fisheye GoPro. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's me as a awesome dad. So you got the cameras, you got the bass, you got soccer, you got a Bible. Yeah. So, yep.
That is awesome.
And I'm just showing everyone here. I mean, if you're on YouTube, you're getting a show of my life right now.
There we go.
So I'm trying to find, that's me and my wife. Let's open this up. That's us. That's from like 6 years ago, though. Trying to find a full family picture. That's when we got married. I didn't have a beard. Oh, I had a goatee, but you know. There's my kids. So these three are my kids. These are my nephews.
Aww.
So my wife and I, we can have kids. So all my kids are adopted. So, yeah.
That's amazing.
That's us. Yeah. It's at a hockey game. So,
yep.
The Knoxville Ice Bears.
We're,
you know, we're not lucky enough like Nashville to have professional teams. But, yeah. But, all right. You guys saw my life now. Go follow me on Instagram.
Do it.
Shameless plug. probably my wife is going to kill me for showing pictures on YouTube, but it is what it is. Also, I have I tried to do a YouTube channel of my family, like doing trips and stuff. Mm-hmm. I only released one video. We went to the NASA Space Center in
cool.
Alabama. So yeah. I did one video. I was trying to do like this. It was called York Adventure Team. And I had big plans of we're going to go over everywhere all, and visit places and do videos. And that, you know, we did
That's
one video.
That's awesome. No, I know. My youngest, or no, my oldest son, he's really into videos and YouTube. And he carries, he's, even today, or no, yesterday, we went to an apple orchard.
Orchard, yeah.
In New York, and he filmed the entire thing, like in the car. So, guys, we're on our way to somewhere really cool, and like, all right, but I'll edit them for you. It's just so chaotic. Like,
yeah,
I could never do it, but if he does it, that's one thing.
Yeah. So my daughter, she has a she has a TikTok channel. She'll post stuff on. And then she also has done some. I guess you call them short form videos on YouTube and stuff, you know, but she wants to do more. Yeah. But she really likes it. She's been editing some stuff together. She has, I think the CapCut app.
Yeah.
So she's been messing with. So yeah.
That's a great place to start. It's a very like, I'll use CapCut to do quick little things too. So
yeah,
it's right there on your phone. It's easy.
Yeah. Also. Brother-in-law's this sounds so weird. My brother-in-law's brother-in-law.
Okay.
So my brother-in-law's wife's brother is getting married, and I'm going to be shooting his wedding, which is a very small wedding, but I'm going to let my daughter co-shoot with me. So
that's such a great opportunity.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I love that.
It'll be fun. Good experience for her. So
yeah, absolutely. Oh, she'll love that. That'll be so good.
Yeah. Because that's the one thing, because, you know, I'll be focusing on, you know, getting all the important stuff, but you need that, like, her eye to run around and get the crowd and people and their emotions. And, you know, that's the great part. That usually, if you're a solo shooter, you don't get all that stuff, you know, all that content.
So. I was literally just talking to a friend about this, and, like, I've done weddings, and, like, I will never do a wedding by myself. Yeah. I've done it once, and it's like, there's also so much pressure. This is somebody's very special day they've looked forward to their entire life. You miss that first kiss, you are messing up really bad.
Yeah.
I would much rather have two people than anything. And that way you can capture more. And I mean, that day is just so, so special. And
yeah, definitely.
That'd be great for her to have already that exposure to it. If this is something, you know, she wants to do, that's amazing for her to have that opportunity.
Yeah. I think she, well, so at church, she also, sometimes she'll run the cameras for our YouTube channel. So because we stream live, and so she'll run like the cameras for the live stream and stuff. So
that's also like great that she already has her hands on like cameras like that. And
yeah. She does have an eye for it. I can, you know, already see that, you know.
Well, there you go. She'll like be a natural at it. So that's great.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show. This has been awesome.
Absolutely.
It's been really fun. And you got to nerd out about cameras and all kinds of stuff. So just tell everyone where they can find you.
All right. Well, let me think. Instagram, you can find me at Spookay. It's Spookay. And then it's underscore after that. Facebook, you can find me under Kayla Dawn. YouTube, find us at Spirit Seeker Society. I also have my photography on my Instagram and Facebook. That's Haven and Hollow Photography. And find me there. Spirit Seeker Society, though, for sure.
Awesome. So I want to thank you again so much for coming on, guys. Thank you for listening, watching, whatever, wherever you're getting the content. Thank you so much. Like, follow, subscribe, ring the little bell down there if you're on YouTube. And guys, we're AFK Discussions, and we'll see you next time. Peace.
Absolutely. Thank you. Awesome.